Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Claire Christian, Minister.
Melissa Pinkard, Directorate Manager for Integrated Primary and Community Care and Therapy Services.
Teresa Cope, Chief Executive.
So we're changing the contract that we have with our providers at the moment, and in those changes we've made some really positive steps in terms of being able to transfer patients from the waiting list. It'll be done in a way where patients will be allocated, they'll be able to access for emergency services to the practice that they're allocated to, and then they'll be getting an appointment for for their examination, etc., within this financial year from the providers. So we expect to see that waiting list within this financial year reduced right down to zero.
And it's obviously been quite a complicated piece of work for you to handle as well, hasn't it? So what are some of the intricacies of the contracts, I suppose, which is going to enable this to happen?
There's the changes that we're making contractually is we're asking for providers to be stretching recall periods for patients. So what that means is patients, according to NICE guidance, can be seen anything between 3 months and 2 years. And we're asking for any low-risk patients, the dentist will have a conversation with them and they will stretch those recall periods, allowing those with a high risk or who need to be seen to be seen and creating that capacity as we move forward.
And there will be some people listening to that and feeling concern about the thought of their appointments being stretched, especially if they're used to 6 monthly checkups. So have you got anything that you can say to reassure them that their care isn't going to suffer as a result of this?
Their care absolutely will not suffer. So the dentist makes a clinical decision on a recall period, but that's in conjunction with the patient as well. So the patient can have the conversation with the dentist. The dentist would not want to stretch a recall period beyond what they think is clinically necessary or safe to do so. This is NICE guidance, so it's readily available on the internet. Patients can look at what that information is around it and be reassured that it's safe to be able to stretch those recall periods beyond the usual 6 months and have that longer, anything up to 2 years actually.
I think it's important to say that obviously if a patient wants to be seen within that recall period, they just have to call up and make an appointment. So if something happens, you know, filling or something like that, I think just to give the public the reassurance that obviously they will be seen, and that's really important.
Yeah, that absolutely is important. And in terms of the recall period, they can always be changed too. So the dentist may put a recall period longer or shorter, dependent on the needs of the patient.
And we have heard from some people, they have a dentist, they have an allocated dentist, they've tried to book an appointment and they've been told that actually new patients have been prioritised because they've been trying to help with the wait list, so they've had to wait for their checkup. Is that going to be something that you're expecting to see as a result of these changes?
I wouldn't expect to see that, no. What we'd expect of the providers that are taking new patients from the waiting list is that they're carefully planning that out. So for the number of patients that they take, whilst patients can't be seen immediately for their examinations, they will have access for emergency and the dental services at that practice. But we would expect the provider to space out the appointments. And in terms of the changes that we're making around stretching recall periods, they're going to create that capacity naturally by stretching recall periods for patients who are low risk that don't need to be seen so regular, and create that space for people that do.
And we've seen the waiting list numbers rise continuously for the past 7 years, really, since 2018. And I suppose what reassurance is there that we're not going to see these waiting lists rise again? What things have you put in place to try and avoid that?
So that's exactly right. In 2018, we did reduce the waiting list. We funded an initiative to get to lose the waiting list, basically. That went out to all the providers. But as the providers took their quota of patients, they then had to close their lists again. And in 2019, the waiting list started to rise. Then we were hit with COVID-19, which you will be aware that the practices needed to close. We were under emergency measures. And throughout that whole period, you saw that list creep up and up and up. But the providers were already on catch up when they reopened practices after COVID. And they haven't been able to offer any allocated spaces for NHS patients, or very few over the time, our lists increase by about 100 per month, roundabouts. So what we're doing with this new contract, by introducing cleansing of waiting lists as well, patient lists within the practices. So every quarter, the providers will be looking at the lists, seeing who hasn't been seen for 2 years, and making contact with those patients to encourage them to come in for examination, or to check if they still want a place at the practice. If they don't, we'll replace them with a new patient. So we're trying to create that sustainability ongoing, rather than just funding the waiting list.
And Teresa, it is something that's taken quite a long time to get to this point, and we have, as we've been talking about, seen the waiting list numbers rise. So why has it taken so long to be able to find this solution?
I think we had to find a solution which effectively was able to incentivise our dentists, because we know it's difficult to recruit and retain, and they also have a big existing group of patients on their list. So we had to think innovatively about how we would incentivise this with our contractors, and working in conjunction with the team, we wanted to move to these different recall periods. But you know, an important part of it was to also incentivise a new payment structure. So we had fallen slightly out of step with what's been paid in England, and there wasn't a consistent payment structure, and that's what our dentist was telling us. So it was making things difficult for them. It was meaning they weren't necessarily able to do as much NHS activity as what they would like. And so partly it was sort of feedback from our dentist providers about what would work for them, as well as finding a contractual framework from which we could then take something through our board, get the approval from the Department of Health and Social Care. So unifying the UDAs and having a standard payment structure across all dental activity was really, really important. And we took that through the board and the department back at the start of this financial year, recognising there was a really strong commitment in both the mandate and the operating plan to really address this waiting list. So we agreed the new payment structure and the contractual changes that have been described, and then we've gone out and had those conversations with the dentists, and really pleased that so many of them have adopted and agreed to these new contracts, which obviously start from July. So we will see the impact in this financial year. And yes, I mean, there is additional funding needing to be put aside for this, but it was a priority, and we think for the level of additional investment, we have brought the payment structure up to an acceptable standard, so it's comparable, it's competitive, it will incentivise the dentist to be able to undertake NHS activity, and we hope these changes are able to be sustained in the long term, which we should be able to. So in terms of the sort of financial investment in this financial year, we're looking at around £600,000.
And is that then going to have to be repeated every year going forward to accommodate this?
So we will need to build that into our budgets going forward. But as I say, it's within our quantum, it's within our global sum of £361.8 million. It is an important priority, and therefore this level of investment, if that does eliminate the waiting list, which we anticipate it will, I think that's a very good return on that level of investment.
Claire, it comes nicely to you then, because if we're going to be talking about the need to invest more money in these services going forward, obviously we're at a time where government is very keen to be looking at its efficiency and trying to reduce budgets where it can. So how much of a priority is it going to be for your department to make sure that there is enough funding for this to continue?
So absolutely. I think just putting obviously patients first in this, certainly when we discuss the mandate going forward for the following year, I think that the benefits completely, as Teresa has just said, is really, really important for return on investment for £600,000. Obviously, the additional costs will be closely monitored by Manx Care within this budget. So that's part of their remit for this year. But I think just talking about the benefits to patients, just to really sort of home in on that, because that's who your listeners are, and I think we really want them to understand. So they're going to timely access. We're reducing the waiting list and giving them more timely access, so more efficient use of appointments and resources. And then for in terms of the fair allocation, so priority is going to be given to children and to families and those with urgent needs or long waiting times. So I think that's really, really important. And, it's been certainly my focus since I came into post 9 months ago now with Manx Care, and I'm really, really pleased that that Manx Care and the dentists and the DHSC obviously have worked together to reduce this waiting list. I know from a personal perspective, I hear on the radio all the time, man in line, etc. It's when are the dentist waiting lists going to be reduced, and that's what the public have said and have asked, and that is what Manx Care are doing. And so they looking within their own budget how they can fund that, and that's what they've done as the provider, and we completely support that.
And I suppose the next question that people will ask is that, will there be any other services that have to be impacted to make sure that the money for this can be found going forward?
No, this isn't about moving money from one particular service into another. That's why we have a very comprehensive cost improvement program every year, and have a number of savings transformation activities, so we can continue to look at where we can invest in those services which need that additional investment. So, Manx Care has a £11 million cost improvement programme. That is to ensure we are operating as close to our budget as possible, but also allowing that transformation activity to take place. Dental is a really complex area. There's a fee structure, but it's a priority for us, and it is about ensuring people have the best basic care. Which will probably save money further down the pathway and further down the line. So no, this isn't about this investment in dental is as a consequence of another frontline service where that money has moved from. This is about how we look at the total allocation of our budget, where it's spent, where it will have the greatest impact, and what are our priorities that has been defined in our mandate.
Melissa, coming back to you, there will be listeners in the north of the island who were previously registered with Grovemount, who are now on a waiting list and are probably quite keen to have an update on what's going to be happening in the north of the island for dental care. So are you able to give people a bit of an update about what's happening there?
I am, yes. So we're going out to procurement for a service that will replace what was previously delivered at Grovemount. We're aware there are about... excuse me.
That's right.
We're aware that there are around 900 patients that were allocated previously to that provider. We know who those patients are, and they will get priority as we procure a new service. We're hoping that procurement goes live within the next matter of weeks, and then once we've got a new provider in place, that transfer will happen, along with waiting list patients as well for the new provider as they set up. So it's imminent that we should get another provider in Ramsey, or certainly in the north of the island.
And obviously, procurement has been challenging with dentists in previous years because of the global context and the global climate. So are you confident that you're going to be able to find somebody suitable to fulfil that role?
I would certainly hope so. The difficulty is there's not a lot of access in the north of the island anyway in terms of dental practices, unlike other areas with the island, so it may well need a new provider who might want to set up a practice, or it might be an existing provider that goes in for the tender exercise at that point. We've just got to wait and see what happens there. I know there's providers that we already have that are keen to deliver more services, but we really want to focus on a service being available in the north of the island as a priority.
I think we've given real thought to how much activity is needed to be delivered in the north, which means it's substantially more than what was previously commissioned for the north of the island. And we hope that means it is more attractive to providers to sort of take on the contract. So it's a significant increase in the number of UDAs being asked to be delivered in the north. And as I say, we hope that makes it more attractive to providers to come and set up there, taking into account all they will need to do in order to be able to provide that service for us.
And Teresa, you mentioned that in the press release that this is going to be the first in several transformative steps for NHS dental services on the island. So what's next?
So we obviously want to make sure the waiting list is cleared, and we're working to those NICE guidelines and that we can sustain it. The other important development is the Grove Mount. So it is about the right level of procurement for the services on the island. And also just to reassure the public, our very important community dental service will remain. And that has had to do more emergency work as we've been in this position with the waiting list. So again, an opportunity to refocus the very specialist and important work that community dental service does. So when we spoke about these changes, we didn't know how much of that waiting list reduction we could achieve, but it's really, really positive that as we sit here today, all bar 500 of those patients on the waiting list are now or going to be in the process of being reallocated, and there is a substantial additional amount of activity going into the north of the island as a result of that procurement. So that's something to keep you informed on. We don't quite know what the outcome of that procurement will look like and when we will have a go live date, but I think just the fact that we've started that procurement and we're able to offer a really competitive contract means that I think there's increased opportunity for success in being able to secure a service for the island.
And then just finally, for any of those 6,000 people on the waiting list who will be celebrating this news, what information do they need to know and what next steps do they need to take?
So primary care services will be communicating with the providers and sending over patient lists. When patients join the waiting list, we do ask them, do they have a preference of practice or preference of area? And we will always try and allocate to the person's preference if we can. So what we're asking of patients is we'll notify them that they're being allocated and to which practice, but we're asking patients to please not start phoning the practices. As you can imagine, we'll swamp the practices. They've got to focus on making these arrangements and appointments for people. So the dentist will make contact with the patient and make those arrangements direct with them because they'll have their contact details. So if we can just ask everybody just to be a little bit patient when we do make those allocations, it's going to make things run a little bit smoother and a bit quicker for everybody involved.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.